T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He's giving his receivers opportunities to make plays. I mean, him and Diggs and Cole, those guys are doing phenomenal work. And we love those one-on-one matchups with anybody in the league, DB receiver-wise. And he's just managing the game better. I feel like in the stat-wise, isn't it true that he's thrown more touchdown passes this year so far than he has last year? So that stat itself tells you that his game is really improving, not only as an individual, but as a leader itself.
Aaron Williams, right there, former Bills safety, former corner, then safety, DB, on Howard and Jeremy this morning with them. And good Monday morning to you. Sal Capaccio here in the Extra Point Show, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'll be here till noon. And then the Buffalo Football Monday continues with One Bills Live, Steve Tasker, Chris Brown. And of course, after that, Chopin the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. Stay with us at WGR550.com. Also follow me on Twitter at Sal Sports. I'll have updates from Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll and Leslie Frazier later today. They'll be speaking to the media as they normally do on a Monday. And then we're getting going on a Bills game week here. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. We'll go out to Sean. Hi, Sean in Depew. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to get a take on our special teams game from you, because I know it's something we struggled with last year, but I feel like, you know, we've had no kicks blocked, no punts blocked, none took him back for touchdowns. Andre Roberts, I feel like, did us in really good last game, set us up on the, 5 or 8 yard line multiple times. So I feel like
twice inside, twice he was down there, and twice he also got it out past the 30.
Okay. Well, I feel like that's something that we're going to have to improve on, you know, in the, if we make it to the postseason, because it's going to come down to those guys. I feel like our special teams is really just lacking.
I did totally disagree with you. Andre Roberts is a top 3 kick and punt returner in both categories this year.
Well, I feel like because of the Cardinals games that it just didn't go over well, but I don't know. Maybe it's a different take.
Yeah, he's had an excellent year, actually, and I've been on the Andre Roberts train for a while, and if you want to tell me he was bad in a couple of kickoffs last week, probably, maybe made a couple poor decisions. I don't disagree with that, but overall, he's been excellent this year. He's been very good. The special teams have been very good, and part of the reason the special teams have been very good, it's not just Andre Roberts, it's Tywan Jones, Tyler Matakevich, Saran Neal, guys that they brought in to help with special teams. It's guys filling those voids when they come up, like a Dane Jackson or a Cam Lewis or someone like that. So if you're worried about the special teams, don't, because they've actually been very good, including, and especially, I would say, the return man. Let me just look right now. As of today, where is Andre Roberts' rank in punt and kickoff returns? I will tell you, just so you know, Sean. Andre Roberts is second in the NFL in he's fourth in the NFL in kick return average at 29.1, and he is fourth in the NFL in punt return average at 11.9. So, Ray McLeod, by the way, on this list. Interesting. Having a really good year for the Steelers in the return game. So, yeah, and by the way, talk about special teams. Holy cow, was Tyler Bass good the last game. Yeah, I don't know why. You should not be worried about special teams right now. If anything, you should be very encouraged about special teams and the fact that the Bills actually probably have, overall, some of the best special teams units across the board in the entire NFL. So I can't agree at all on that. James in Amherst. Hi, James. You're on WGR.
Hey, Phil. So I got kind of like 2 points to make. One is just about Josh's performance against the Cardinals. I mean, I think, you know, save for the first drive and then the last drive, you could argue that might not have been his best. That could have been like his, you know, his worst game of the season. But to counter that, it's so refreshing that if, you know, for a Bills quarterback to maybe just kind of like meh, have a meh game, he still came back and they should have won, you know, for not like the most, you know, magnificent, you know, miraculous Hail Marys that you can't count for. The Bills should have won that game, and it should, and it's because Josh orchestrated a great drive. So I think that.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, though, and it's something I said after the game, too, some other people have kind of brought this point up, which is, you know, Josh didn't have his A game. He wasn't terrible by any means. He threw a couple of poor passes. But what I think you're saying is, and I agree, his floor has risen. When he has a bad game or a lesser game, it's still not nearly as bad as it used to be, or it is for a lot of guys around the league.
Right, and again, they should have won, and it was because of his his getting back together. So that's, you know,
he's amazing in the fourth quarter. His numbers in the fourth quarter are incredible through his career. By the way, it's not just this year either.
Yeah, I keep, you know, I scroll Twitter, I scroll Facebook, and I'm seeing all these stats, you know, about, you know, how he's breaking. Yeah, it's so much fun to watch. So I guess the other thing I wanted to ask you about is the Chargers scare me. I just because, and like you were saying, matchups.
Yeah.
And Justin Herbert looks insane. I mean, just the way that they run their offense. You can almost kind of compare them to Seattle, and we did a good job containing them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Seahawks are the better team this year, but I just, that scares me. And then the other point with the Chargers is Anthony Lynn. The two times that, you know, we've played him, I mean, we've just been shellacked. And granted, Nathan Peterman started both of those games.
No, I get it. I think here, though, you're not facing Phillip Rivers. You're facing a rookie quarterback. I think Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier, you'd have some confidence in them to be able to do something to, you know, make him, I don't know, you know, confuse him, I guess, things like that. The other thing is, let's flip on the other side of the ball. I agree. This could be a shootout, maybe, because they're going to be a handful throwing the ball. There's no doubt about that, because they have excellent receivers. And Herbert, he throws a great deep ball. He's very efficient on the deep ball this year. But defensively, they're not very good. And the Bills will have opportunities on defense. Defensively, the Chargers rankings here. Let me just go to it here. Actually, I guess their numbers are better than I thought. I think that I'm maybe looking at maybe how many points a game they've been giving up, and let me see where they are here. Yeah, I mean, the 27 points a game given up. This could be a game like that. I'm confident in the Bills this week, but I don't disagree that the Chargers pose some problems. I'll be watching the Austin Eckler situation to see if he's available, because I don't think they'll be able to run the ball that effectively on the Bills if the Bills want to make sure that they can keep him one-dimensional.
Yeah, I think they should win, but it'll probably be a lot like Seattle, or like even like last night's, you know, Chiefs-Raiders game. Thanks a lot, Seth.
Okay, yeah, no problem. And if they do win like Seattle, we'll all be asking, oh my gosh, what happened? Come on, you know, Chargers, rookie quarterback. Yeah, the numbers are actually better on defense than I thought in total rankings. Yards per game, they're 11th. Per play, they're 15th. And then they're middle of the pack. I mean, they are, against the run, the Chargers are giving up 4.6 yards a carry. That's not very good. The Bills might have an opportunity to run the ball a little bit, but I want the Bills to throw. I just want them to throw. Offensively, they're putting in work. Chargers with a rookie quarterback. They're doing a nice job. They are third in the league in yards passing per game. Now, granted, some of that is because they're down. They have to throw. But he's been good. He's good. Points per game. I want to look at points per game for the Chargers, where they are. Offensively, 26. I thought they'd be higher than that. That's about middle of the pack. Defensively, they're giving up about 27. I don't disagree with the overall call, though. The Chargers do pose some problems for the Bills. The Bills they should be a better football team. They're 5-point favorites, by the way. The Bills are. They've opened up as 5-point favorites. We'll see where that goes throughout the week. You know, the Chargers went to Miami. Dolphins do what they do. They got plays on defense. They got plays on special teams, and they won. But the Chargers did not have a great day offensively against the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins did a nice job on them. So let me talk about the Dolphins for a minute. Kind of teased it a little bit, or opened up and talked a little bit about some of the things the Dolphins, you know, the ways they've been winning and why it's not that sustainable. And let me dig into some numbers here for you. Okay? The Dolphins, over the last 4 weeks since Tua Tagovailoa took over, here are their numbers offensively against defensively. yards per game. They were outgained over the last 4 weeks, 1,600 to 900. There's in change, 1,645 to 950. That's an average of 411 given up to 237 only on offense. Failed to average 240 yards for a full month. Yards per play is where I want to focus. That's a yards per play, in case you don't know, is a very strong indicator, especially yards per pass, but yards per play is a very strong indicator of teams and efficiency and how good they are, and it's what Vegas uses a lot. Let me tell you about yards per play for the Dolphins. Over the last four games, yards per play given up, 5.83. Now, what does that represent? What does that number mean to you? You might say, well, what does that mean, 5.83? Okay, let's say for a whole season you're at 5.83. That's like normally top 10 right now. 5.83. If you went 5.83 for a whole season last year, you'd have been ranked. Minnesota did that. They were 10th in the league. So that's you want to be better than that. But here's where they've really failed and why I tell you that and kept telling you that they weren't sustainable. The Miami Dolphins over the last 4 weeks, yards per play offensively since Tua took over, 4.27. Now let me put that in perspective for you, which is incredible. 4.27 yards per play. If you have that over a full season, this is a quarter season. If you have that over a full season, that would be the lowest number in the NFL since 2012. By a lot, by the way. Most low are 4.4, 4.5. For example, the Jets this year are the worst team in the NFL through every game, averaging 4.49 yards a play. The Dolphins with Tua were averaging 4.2. That is abysmal. They were winning because they were getting opportunistic plays on offense and on defense. I'm sorry, opportunistic plays on special teams and on defense. They were getting turnovers. They were getting scores from those opportunistic plays. And I'm not here to take that away from them. Good for them. That's great if you're a team that does that. Like you want, the Bills did that in 2017. They took the ball away. They scored three defensive touchdowns. The Bills were winning games that probably they were really not the better team in, but they made a play here or a play there. That's how the Dolphins have been winning. And for weeks, I was saying, this is not sustainable. And yesterday, it finally caught up with them. Somebody said, well, there was a Dolphins fan who tweeted me something about, how are you saying not having good defense or special teams isn't sustainable? That's not what I'm saying. Having good defense and special teams is great. You want to. And they do have good defense and special teams, I think. What's not sustainable is relying on your defense and special teams to actually score points or to get the big play in a tough situation because your offense can't. That's what's not sustainable. And that, to me, is why the Dolphins have never truly been this real threat to the Bills in the AFC East, unless the Bills falter. It's about the Bills. It's not about the Dolphins. They may be a great team in a couple years. We'll see where Tua goes. They have all these draft picks. They have a team that they're putting together. They have a good young coach. Is he young? I think he is. They have a good coach in Brian Flores, but they're not there yet. They're not ready. They haven't played like it. And if you're just listening to people talk on TV who tell you, Dolphins, they're better than the Bills, then shame on you. Go look at them. Go watch them. This is not Sal on the radio who grew up hating the Miami Dolphins telling you this, by the way. All right, maybe some of it is. This is not me who grew up absolutely despising Don Shula and the Miami Dolphins telling you all this. This is me as your local professional football analyst. That's who it is telling you this. Yesterday, I caught up with them. And maybe they'll win a couple more games like that. Look, the Bills did win like that in 2017, enough to get to the playoffs. But as we saw, it didn't carry over to the next year because they just weren't really that good. They were good enough. They made enough plays. The Bills in 2017 made enough plays. They weren't usually the better team on the field. And the Dolphins haven't been. We got to get out of this. We got to move away from 1979. We got to move away from 2000 even. This is 2020. The NFL is different. You got to score points. You got to win with scoring. Of course I want a great defense. Of course I want great special teams. If you have a good defense, if you have a good special teams, you're going to have a much better chance to win in every game you play. But you cannot rely on those units to cover up all of the warts for your offense. And if you have to win that way, you're not going to, in the long run, win enough games, be sustainable. It just can't happen. That's why I'm not that worried about the Bills right now. I mean, I want them to have a better defense. It's much more important in 2020. And again, this is why I say, let's get out of 1990 thinking. Let's get out of 2000 thinking. This is not those years anymore. It is so much more important in the NFL these days to have a really good offense than it has to have a really good defense. It just is. And you can point to me outliers, fine. But those are outliers. Have a good offense. And then hope your defense can just keep the other team to a few extra stops. It used to be in the league, have a really good defense and then let's score a few times. No, now it's the reverse. Now it's have a really good offense and hope your defense can stop the other team a few times. That's it. Make a few plays. That's what I want. That's how you win. And that's the team the Bills have built, I think. You'd love the defense to be putting up better numbers. I agree with that. But don't tell me about the Miami Dolphins and how great they are when I look at these numbers and say their offense has been horrible. It's been putrid. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Jerry and Kenmore, what's up?
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know what? I don't watch as much film as you. I just watch the games, obviously. And I think one of the biggest problems with the running game is that it's not that we can't do it. Something timing-wise seems off. There's always a backside guy. We don't sustain the block long enough, or we don't think we have to block him, that disrupts the timing enough that that the hole's not there when the back gets there. We have a lot of these plays where we hand the ball to the guy, and then he makes a decision. And you know what I'm saying? The timing just seems
wrong. I do, and I've said this. I don't disagree. I think, for me, Jerry, what I see is they don't just go forward enough sometimes in the offense. You know what I mean? And to me, that's the power element of the game. It's their offense, a lot of it is predicated upon reading, upon Josh putting it in the belly and then looking to see what's going on, and that can disrupt your timing. If he's a split second off pulling it out, if he's a split second off handing it off, if the back takes that extra stutter step because they're waiting for the hole to develop, you can run like that. You can create space like that. But to me, the timing is what you're talking about. I agree with that. You got to have better timing, and more. A lot of times, that's just bam, 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 do it, do it, do it, instead of waiting to see to do it.
Yeah, it seems to me like they're waiting for a big play all the time. They're not happy with 4 or 5 yards.
Interesting. Yeah, and I'd love to see a little bit more of that. Again, I don't need them to run the ball a ton, but I want to see more of the more efficiency when they do run it.
Well, I think we need less minus ones, minus twos, and more fours and fives, and that would solve a huge problem in offense if you got 4 yards on carries instead of those. You know, again, that second and 10 play a couple weeks ago where he lost a yard, it didn't seem like it was the right call, and then we don't execute it the way we need to.
No, I hear you. I am not disagreeing at all. I think that the timing has been an issue, and I think to me it comes down to maybe having a little bit less of watching everything happen and then making a decision versus just going to where you're supposed to go.
Yep. All right, thanks, Al.
All right, have a good Thanksgiving. I appreciate the call. Mark Tonawanda. Hi, Mark. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, so thanks for having me on.
Yep.
I think the only sort of concern, and I'm kind of like you, Sal, I love that they're throwing the ball every single down. If they're up to me, I throw it every single play. I think it's awesome. And it's a Bills team we haven't seen before in a long time. But what's going on with the offensive line? I feel like, Quentin Spain was arguably our number one offensive lineman last year. You know, they cut him, and now Mitch Morse gets benched.
I mean, Spain wasn't this year their number one offensive line, so I don't know. I mean, obviously, he lost his job early on. I don't know what's going on with Mitch Morse. We're going to find out this week. It's going to be an interesting week because, obviously, he was active last week, but he didn't play. And was that Sean McDermott said that was a coach's decision. He could have said that was because, you know, we want to give him an extra week with the bye and getting the concussion and all that, but he didn't say that, which makes it interesting.
Right. That was just odd to me.
Mm-hmm.
Forcing. But yeah, I love a John Feliciano-led offensive line too. I think they're better with him in the lineup, and I think it shows, and that's been encouraging. But yeah, just running the ball, and I'm excited. Guys are coming back healthy.
Yeah, we'll see what Cody Ford. I think he'll change things too, Mark. And you know, if he's healthy enough, then you really have to see where does Feliciano go. Does he stay at center for Morse? Does he go over to the other guard? You know, I mean, I think that's going to be an interesting developing situation this week.
For sure, for sure. And then we got guys on. What a game by Dane Jackson. I mean, Josh Norman coming back, and hopefully Milano. I think this defense is going to be way better the second half of the season, and I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Have a good Thanksgiving. Milano's got one more week left. He's got to miss this game. It's three games, not 3 weeks when you get put on IR. He's missed two. He's got to miss one more. 803-0550. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We still got to get to sit up, stand down. And hey, buddy, of course I'm going to do that this week. I haven't forgot about all of you on that. So we'll do that when we come back and more of your phone calls on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A big challenge for the Bills is I would look at them probably finishing more with 11 wins. Could be better, could be worse. But, you know, you look at Pittsburgh, they have all the looks of, with their schedule, a 12-win team. You figure it's still going to be 12 or 13 for the Kansas City Chiefs, but that still puts the Bills right now in that top four because you throw Baltimore in there, and right now the Bills would be the next team you look at in the AFC. But I think you look favorably at the Bills right now as probably the fourth best team in the AFC.
John Clayton with Chauvin the Bulldog. He's on this station every week. You can hear his appearance with them. I think it's on Thursdays, every Thursday, right? John Clayton. So there you go. You can hear Chauvin the Bulldog today at 3 o'clock, all part of a Buffalo Football Monday here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you here on the Extra Point Show. If you miss any of this show or anything else, go to WGR550.com. It's on demand, of course. On demand audio, brought to you by Northwest Bank. So, I have an article up at our website, WGR550.com. It's got lots of colors in it. And the reason I say that is because I color-coded the roster for everybody. I've been doing this all year to keep track because of all the COVID situation and the expanded rosters. I got everybody that's just regular on the sheet in white is on the active roster. Blue is practice squad. Orange is injured reserve. Green is PUP, Tommy Sweeney. And red is COVID. So go check it out. You can look at everything on the roster, and I explain to you all the different situations with everybody, including Matt Milano, who is eligible to begin practicing next week, and then they'll have 21 days to activate him if they want. He's got to miss one more game. Cam Lewis is eligible to be practicing this week. If the Bills want, they can reactivate him off of injured reserve. We'll see if they do that. Terrell Dodson, same situation. He's missed the minimum requirement of games so far with 3. They could activate him again. Isaiah Hodgins is on IR. I do not think we'll see him all year. I think that's essentially a redshirt year. He's been on IR since September 7th, right after final roster cuts, with a shoulder injury. Hasn't practiced. I don't expect him to. I think it's one of those deals where he'll come back next year. He'll be healthy. They'll see what he can do in camp and see if he can make the team. Delshawn Phillips, he went on IR a second time, which means he's ineligible to be activated again. He's got to be out for the year. He cannot be on the Bills' active roster at all in 2020. As far as Tommy Sweeney is concerned, placed on the PUP list back on September 4th prior to week one, and that moved him to the reserve PUP list after the regular season started. So here's the deal with that. He has missed the required 6 games on PUP. Then there's a 5-week window where he can begin practicing again. That window ends this week. If Tommy Sweeney doesn't start practicing this week, the Bills cannot activate him this year. If he does start practicing, then they'll have another 3 weeks to activate him. So we'll see where that goes. I think that could happen. I expect maybe Tommy Sweeney does practice this week. This is my expectation. I don't know. And then maybe they'll decide if he's ready after a three-week window. And that could be determined by a lot of things. It's his own health. It's what they need on the roster at that point. You know, but they could then shut him down too and, again, bring him back again next year. Josh Norman is the only player on the Bills' reserve COVID list right now. He doesn't count against the team's 53-man active roster. He can be removed from that list and activated as soon as he clears all testing protocols. A lot of you have asked me, this is all in the article, by the way, there's more, but I'll go through this. A lot of you have asked me about the practice squad elevation situation. Who's been elevated, how many times remaining? And what I mean by that is the Bills this year, every team is allowed to elevate two players from their practice squad who do not have to pass through waivers to go back to the practice squad on a weekly basis. So on Saturday, they can say, we're pulling these two guys up. And then they go back on Monday, and they're not subject to waivers. Once, though, a player has done that twice, they can't do it anymore. The only way they can bring him up is by actually signing him to the active roster and releasing somebody. They only have two of those elevations. There are only two guys on the Bills practice squad who have already met those requirements. Deion Lacy and Dane Jackson. So neither of those guys can be what we'd call free elevations anymore. If they were to be signed, it would actually have to be to the active roster and somebody would have to go. I know that scares a lot of people with Dane Jackson because then you say, well, do that because I don't want to lose him because another team can sign him. I'm not that worried about it. It's not as frequent this year that we see teams poaching players from other teams' practice squads. It's happened. It's not as frequent. I think with COVID, with restrictions on, you know, testing and protocols and getting guys in their buildings, you're not seeing that as much. I also believe that if the Bills wanted Dane Jackson on the active roster, first of all, they would do it. But if another team wanted him, I think that they would let the Bills know and give him a heads up to say, hey, if you don't sign us, we're going to go over here. That's generally how it works. That's what happened with Justin Zimmer. Reportedly, Justin Zimmer, back, what, a month ago or so, was offered a contract to go to another team. I'm not sure what team. And his agent said to the Bills, hey, you don't elevate him, you don't sign him, we're going to go to this other team. Because it's a lot of difference in money. Of course a player wants to be on an active roster. And the Bills said, okay. And they elevated him. They signed him. Here's who has one elevation still remaining without having to pass through waivers on the way back down. Brian Cox Jr., Duke Williams, Jake Kumerow, Jordan DeVay, Brandon Bryant, Josh Thomas, and Darryl Worley. If you don't know what position those guys play, you should. But Brandon Bryant's a defensive tackle. Josh Thomas is a safety. Worley's a corner. Jordan DeVay is a lineman. Brian Cox Jr. is a defensive end. Duke Williams and Jake Kumerow are both wide receivers. A couple of those guys have actually been up a couple times. But the reason is because when you're a COVID replacement, it doesn't count for this rule. It's all confusing. I got it all written down. Go to WGR550.com. Salary cap space. The Bills right now, currently, the NFLPA website has them at $4.5 million in cap space, just north of that. If they were to sign anybody from the practice squad or anybody else, it'd be prorated into the final 6 weeks of a salary. So it would decrease a little bit there. But let's just say they have $4 million remaining. You can roll that over into next year, which they're going to need everything because there's going to be a lower salary cap next year due to the lost revenue this year. And then finally, I also have 2021 opponents listed on this article I wrote for you at WGR550.com. So if you're interested in knowing who the Bills play next year and where, we just don't know the dates yet. It's all predetermined except for two games. So next year, here are the Bills' home games. AFC East, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets. You're also going to get the Texans here, the Colts here, the Falcons here, the Panthers here, and then whoever finishes in the same spot as the Bills in the AFC North, which right now, that would be the Steelers if they both finish in first place. Road, next year, AFC East, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets. The Bills are also scheduled to go to Jacksonville, take on the Jaguars. Tennessee, yes, for a third year in a row. It's just how the rotation worked out. It's the way it is. Nashville, good trip, though. They're scheduled to go to New Orleans next year to play the Saints and take on Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa. And then the last game would be whoever finishes in the same spot as them in the AFC West, which right now would be going to Kansas City and the Chiefs because they would be in first place. So it's all laid out for you, WGR550.com. Go check it out. A lot to unpack there. a lot to get to. I just felt it was important to reset, if we will. I do an off-season Bills tracker during the off-season. This was kind of my in-season Bills tracker, if you will. So I figured it would be good to kind of reset everything, like I said, and give you an idea of what's going on with the roster, the situation there, the salary cap, the opponents. Check it out. It's right at our front page, WGR550.com. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back, leaving a little extra time today to do sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, and we got all that coming your way on WGR. So last night, watching the Chiefs-Raiders game, and we're just like, Mahomes is amazing, right? You just watch him play. Derek Carr looked really good. Like, the Raiders looked good yesterday. They lost in the end. You know, Mahomes came down, drove him down at the end. Raiders scored. Chiefs scored. But my wife turns to me and she says, like, who's your favorite player to watch in the league? I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, you know, just to watch. Like, a really fun person to watch play. And I said, are we counting Bills here? Because I could just go Josh Allen because I get to watch him a lot and he's fun. She said, no, not Bills. And I said, oh, you know what? I think it's actually pretty easy. Came to my mind quickly. It's Deshaun Watson. We're going to sit up this week on Deshaun Watson. Dude is good, man. He is really good. Yesterday, he was amazing against the Patriots. By the way, he's always really good against the Patriots. Guy had over 300 yards of total offense, I believe it was, in the first half. Might have been just short of that. He winds up the game 28 of 37, 344, two touchdowns. He runs six times for another 36 yards. He has over 400 yards of offense against the Patriots, but some of the things he does are ridiculous. Some of the balls he was throwing, the darts, incredible. And part of the reason I bring this up is this dude's got nothing around him anymore. Bill O'Brien just ruined that roster. He got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. They have no draft picks anymore to help this kid. So there was a report that the owner had met with Deshaun recently and said, hey, you're the face of our franchise. What do you think we need? And my first thought is Deshaun should say, I need you to get to trade me. That's my first thought. Deshaun should have said, trade me somewhere. He's not going to do that. And they actually were, I guess, talked about what Deshaun wanted or wants in the next head coach. But it's not going to be Romeo Crennel, apparently. Like, that's, they've said it's not going to be. I don't know who the next head coach is going to be or the GM. A guy like, you know, Brian Daboll is going to get some looks, I think, at head coach and with opportunities. And I think he'd be good with a guy like Deshaun Watson. I think Daboll would be good with Watson. But I'm not predicting he's going to go there or anything. I'm just saying that's the kind of fit I could see. But either way, this is just a Deshaun Watson appreciation sit-up. That's what this is. Guy is good. It's going unnoticed this year because he is on such a horrible situation. And I just don't know if it's going to get any better for him, to be quite honest with you. Just want to check real quick. Where is he ranked in some of the... his completion percentage, he's sixth this year. He's fifth in yards. He's second in average yards per pass. He's tied for ninth in touchdown passes. So, and he's eighth in fewest interceptions. Crazy. I think the kid is amazing. I love watching him. So that's the answer when my wife asked me, who do you like watching? And oh yeah, I forgot to add. He plays Thursday. So if you haven't watched Deshaun Watson play, because they're not on a lot of these primetime games as much, watch him on Thursday. Thanksgiving, 12:30 p.m., Texans at Lions. Speaking of the Lions, Matt Patricia got shut out by the Carolina Panthers. I read someone on Twitter, right? If you get shut out by the Panthers, you automatically get fired. That's just the rules. That was pretty funny, actually. So, who am I standing down on? Here's what I got to stand down on. I hate doing it because I love watching him. He's exciting. I like watching him a lot. But it's Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense. That's who we're standing down on. They're just not as good. And here's the reason. I'm going to tell you why. Greg Roman is very smart, and he's very good at designing schemes for his players. When you give a guy and say, this is a guy's skill set, what can you do? He's good at it. But he's not good at going to something else when others figure out what he did. Especially when you got a player like Lamar who's limited as a passer. If Lamar Jackson, because Lamar's limited as a passer, Greg Roman, he can't adjust the offense that much. And teams have figured out the offense. That's what's going on with the Ravens. You want to know? That's what it is. teams have caught up to Lamar and what the Ravens are doing. The Ravens can't adjust. They've built their entire offense around him. And he's limited to not give them enough options to do anything else. So let's stand down to the Baltimore Ravens, who are 6-4 and currently on the outside looking in as far as the playoffs are concerned. Let's get to Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey Buddy. Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey Buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
You know, I normally don't make my buddy personal, but I mean, it's personal a lot of ways, right? I don't make it personal, someone close to me, but I'm doing it this week. I'm going to make my buddy personal and close to me, and as close as you can be, actually. Because my buddy this week is my mom. My mom, you've heard about the birthdays that fall on like Christmas and how, someone's birthday's on Christmas and how do you deal with that? My mom's birthday is on Thanksgiving this year.
2-minute warning.
So on Thursday, I'm not going to be able to see her. She lives down in Florida and loves spending Thanksgiving with my mom. Not able to do that this year, physically. But also on top of it, it's her birthday. I'm not going to tell you how old my mom is, but it's one of those numbers that's a special, significant birthday. And this would have been a great year to see my mom. And I can't. And she listens to the show a lot. She listens. I don't even know if she's listening right now. I didn't tell her I was going to do this. I didn't ask her to tune in. Maybe I'll ask her to listen to it later. I just want to send a birthday greeting and shout out to my mom, whose birthday is on Thursday on the same day as Thanksgiving. It doesn't always fall on Thanksgiving. It does once in a while. It's November 26th. That's when her birthday is. So, Mom, I'm thankful for you, for all the things that you've done for me, that you've given to me, the hard work that you put in to give me the best opportunities in life possible.
Last minute of play in the show.
And especially for supporting me in all of the decisions I've made, even the terrible ones. That's what I want to say to my mom. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Happy birthday to my mom down in Florida. Enjoy Thanksgiving football this week. We got 3 games on Thursday. Texans-Lions, Washington-Dallas, nighttime Ravens-Steelers. Enjoy it all. Bills-Chargers on Sunday right here in Orchard Park. It's going to be a big one, and we're going to get you ready for it all week, including today on a Buffalo Football Monday. After this, Chris and Steve got One Bills Live, and then it's Chopin the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Thanksgiving if I don't talk to you again. In the meantime, enjoy a Buffalo Football Monday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.